What are Auburn's strengths and weaknesses going into 2025? Will we have a running back by committee approach? And is there an actual pathway to the playoff? It's time for another Barn Takeover.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off. And you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we're ready to get after it. It's one of my favorite times of the week. It's time for a Barn Takeover, where members at thebarnauburn.com submit all of the content questions, and then we break it down and have some fun at the same time. So if you want to get in that action, sign up at thebarnauburn.com. You get $25 off for 2025. So take a $25 off your annual membership and jump in the fun. You can submit your questions. You can just get some of the recruiting info that we have, team info, and just jump in the conversation, jump in the community. It's a lot of fun. Check us out, thebarnauburn.com. Let's jump into it. We got a bunch today. And some of these may take a little bit. So let's jump into it and have some fun. Let's start off, one of my favorite names on the barn, Rhett Lashley Burner. What do you think Auburn's biggest strength is heading into next season, and where do they need to improve? So we're talking your basic strengths and weaknesses. Obviously, the easy answer for strengths is going to be Auburn's wide receiver room, which I think Auburn is going to have probably – arguably the top wide receiver room in the conference and one of the better wide receiver rooms in the country. You're bringing in Eric Singleton Jr. You got Cam Coleman coming back for a sophomore year. Malcolm Simmons, who's been electric. Perry Thompson, who you feel like still hasn't – you haven't even really scratched the surface on what he can do. Just a lot of stuff, a lot of talent there. And if you can get him the ball, you got a chance to be really, really electric. Keep people off balance and just make it this offense a tough offense to defend. So that would easily be the strength. I mean, obviously you look at, I think the secondary is going to be really strong, especially the front half, the starting four or five are going to be really strong. But I'm definitely going to stick with, I think I'm going to go with wide receiver, definitely your strength. You needs to be your focal point of the offense next year, which that's what Hugh loves to do. So that's going to be a good, that's typically ends up being a good thing. Weaknesses is really more of an unknown for me. And I'm not saying I don't know the weaknesses. I'm saying that it doesn't necessarily mean these are going to be weak, but it's just an unknown. And that is, to me, the linebacker room is completely unknown because you just don't have that guy yet. You don't have that guy that sort of you can point to that he's going to be, you know, those two guys are going to be the guys next year. You haven't really seen those dudes yet. You saw a little bit of flashes of Robert Woodyard late in the year. You heard Eugene Asante really praise DJ Barber at the Senior Bowl, talked about how he thinks he could be the next guy in the room. And you got, obviously, DeMarcus Riddick. You got a lot of young guys, but as far as true linebacker play, it's an unknown. So I got to put that there as maybe a quote-unquote weakness just because we don't know. And then the tight end room is going to be interesting just because you lose so many. You do bring back Rico Walker. Will Brandon Frazier be healthy enough to play to contribute? And then you brought in Preston Howard from Maryland. And then you get your two freshmen. So you just don't have a ton of experience there outside of Brandon Frazier. I guess you could say Preston Howard has a good bit of experience, but he just doesn't have a lot of production. There's no proven Rivaldo Fairweather type tight end in that room. So it's another thing of being unproven. Therefore, maybe you look at it as a weakness. I think Auburn could look at the spring portal, based off of how spring goes at both of these positions. And then you never know what you could add in the spring. You never know who would want to go maybe try to level up, or, you know, somebody that's maybe really talented that doesn't have quite the pathway to playing time that you could throw in there. You never know. I would think those two positions are ones that could be address in the spring portal, but that would be what I would list right now at this point. I think offensive line has a chance to be really good. Obviously Xavier Chaplin is the guy that you think he's going to be. So that's my answers. Let's go move on to the next one. Give me a QB. I like that name. What have people in the building been saying about Jackson Arnold? You heard Hugh talk about it a little bit at the Senior Bowl practices yesterday. And I want to break down a lot of his comments. He had a lot of interesting comments, not just on Jackson Arnold, but the wide receivers and the offense as a whole. Look, you're getting all the things you're supposed to hear. Like, you're hearing all the things you're supposed to hear. He's throwing the ball really well in early workouts. He's really sort of taking charge of the offense. The wide receivers seem very quickly on board. They're very receptive. They love Deuce too, so they love both of these guys, throwing both of these guys. So obviously you got buy-in there. You got his confidence and his seemingly leadership early on and able to come in and sort of get people to buy in. And those two things are the most important. Is he coming in and is he trying to get to know his teammates? Is he trying to build chemistry right away? Yes. How does he look throwing the ball? People are excited about him. So that's a check too. And then is he just putting in the work? And it does seem like he's coming in and putting in the work. It's so early. It's hard to know. It's hard to really know anything because they're probably throwing against air. And there's so much hope around him that anything that he does, I'm sure, is going to be amplified by like 100 times. So I would say of the little things that he can do to be checking boxes and doing the right things, he's doing all those right things. So that, again, you'll know more in spring, which starts middle of March. But as far as the stuff you got to do when you come in, he's doing all those things. So not a ton, other than just very impressed with his arm strength. I think that was one thing, the way the ball spins, flies out of his hand. I think everybody's pretty excited about that. It's a little bit of a change up from last year. Deuce is getting a lot of these same praises as well. So that's a good thing. Connor Moore, is Austin in line? Damari Austin, is he in line to be running back number one this season? I know we'll probably do more of a committee approach, but who do you see getting the most snaps? So Damari had about double the rushing attempts that Jeremiah Cobb had last year. So logically, you would think he would step in and be the guy early on. I feel like it's going to be a committee approach, though. It does feel like it'll be. I don't know if it'll be like a series rotation or a situational rotation, but it does seem like you don't really have that one true Jarquez Hunter type back, which is not a bad thing. Not a bad thing. You got a lot of dudes that can play and stay fresh. So. And that seems to be what everybody's doing now. Like, everybody, there's not many teams that just pound one running back over and over 20 times a game. There's just not that many. I mean, Jarquez Hunter, everybody complained about how many carries he got last year, and he was second in the conference. He was number two in the conference in running back carries. So I don't know if either one of these guys or Darrell Robinson is a true, 20 carry a game running back. But I think they could easily get, 8 to 10 touches a game each and be very, very effective. So I definitely see a committee approach. I think Austin will go out there first to start off with, just because, I mean, hey, they're all on the team last year, and he got the more carries out of the two. So I think you start with him and just kind of see what happens. But I think combined, when you add all these guys up together, you got some really good weapons. I think that you could be very effective in the run game. Can they get those tough yards when you need them? That remains to be seen, but they definitely got some talent back there. Go to the next one. AUX Rob. Who would you guess our next three or so commits will be in the 2026 class? And do you have any guesses as to a potential time frame for any of them to commit? Boy, that's very specific. So let's just look at a couple of guys who I think may be close, and others have said are close, and some of them depend on what direction Auburn wants to go at certain positions. But Jaden Broadnax, he came in on junior day and said he was committing soon, so like within the next 2 or 3 weeks. And I think he wanted to come back to Auburn for spring. So that would be – in Auburn's, I think, in the final two. So that would be one that I think could pop. You're taught he is a four-star safety, 6'3", 175, from West Boca Raton High School. Very talented kid, long safety, which I love. I love length in the defensive backfield. So I think that he could be definitely one to watch. Jaden Broadnax. Anthony Davis. I just feel like this is going to be one of our linebackers this year. And you're going after his buddy, Tyler Atkinson. They play on the same team at Grayson High School. He's not overly big, but he's incredibly fast. A four-star linebacker. He's like 6'1", 200 pounds. Been to Auburn a bunch. He just seems like an Auburn kid, I think, and I think Auburn wants to go ahead and maybe start getting some guys on board, and I could see him being one. And that Grayson High School this year class is really good, and Auburn's going after several members, so I could see him being a part of maybe getting that Grayson train rolling this season. So that would be one I'll watch. Anthony Davis, four-star linebacker from Grayson. Travis Burgess, look, I've talked about recruit. He's the quarterback from Grayson. I've talked about how quarterback recruiting is treacherous nowadays, especially in the NIL era, and you know, people not wanting to wait around. And do you go in and try to get the best quarterback you could possibly get? Spend all the resources that you have to get the best quarterback every single year, knowing that more than likely, you know, half of them are probably not going to be here. There's a lot of strategy that has to be taken into account there. So when you see a guy like Travis Burgess start to kind of rise up the ranks as far as the hot board goes for quarterbacks, you start to wonder, is Auburn really going to try to maybe not necessarily – it's hard to say this without putting a knock on Travis because I think he's a really good player, but is Auburn going to try to maybe – look for a more strategic quarterback this year that could pop, has really good traits, has really good tools, but it's more so of a guy that helps you get you good competition in the room, but also helps you with other recruits. And I think Travis Burgess may be that guy this year. Again, he said he wants to come back to Auburn soon. He's going to come back in spring. He said something really interesting. He said he wanted to bring his whole family. That typically is a good sign for a potential commitment. So if that were to happen, I would love if that was Auburn's quarterback for this year. I mean, Grayson is a powerhouse football program, and getting a kid like that in, kids, I'm sure he has a reputation with all those guys. They probably would love to go play with their high school quarterback. He's 6'5", you know, close to 200 pounds. He can run, he can throw. He got his first year starting last year. He could really pop, and you get on him early. I could see him being Auburn's quarterback in 2026 quarterback. And again, wants to visit again, wants to bring his whole family. I think that's a big deal. And then another guy who I think Auburn's really high on, which is funny because this edge board is wild. The edge players in the Southeast is so deep. It's crazy how many talented edge players there are. But Trenton Henderson out of Pensacola Catholic, I mean, you're talking about the number, you know, a top 30 player in the country. A very, very talented kid, 6'4", 230, 225, something like that. Loves Auburn. Absolutely loves Auburn. I think he came for junior day. I don't know what the connection is there with Auburn, but the kid just loves Auburn. So I could see if Auburn wants to go ahead and get another edge on the board, Trenton Henderson could be there if they want him. They could probably close that one, and he's one of the top recruits in the country. But again, good size, good frame, freaky edge class, man. Freaky, freaky edge class, and Trenton Thompson could be part of it. So those are the guys I'd say let's watch over the next through spring. Definitely through spring. And some other guys can pop up. There's some defensive linemen, Ernest Rankins, that was Auburn really hit it out of the park with. Vodney Cleveland, you kind of feel like that one could be close at any point in time too. These are the guys I say focus on for right now, and then but there could be multiple throughout spring. Big AU fan 33. How many guys and who do you think makes all SEC first team next year, if any? Okay, so it's a big prediction early, but I'll say I think that Auburn's got a chance to have maybe two or three guys. Keldrick Fox, one that I would think would have a shot to make all SEC first team. Cam, you know, you got Cam Coleman, Eric Singleton. One of those wide receivers could pop and make all SEC first team. But you got it at Auburn, though. If a wide receiver wants to make an SEC first team, then they basically have to go for like 2,000 yards. Because I mean, Keandre Lambert Smith, I feel like got robbed last year, and he had an incredible year. But maybe a wide receiver, and then I feel like Caleb Harris, he's unreal, and I just can't. I literally, of any football player maybe on the team that I can't wait to see next year and see how good they've become or the jump that they make. I cannot wait to see Caleb Harris. I feel like he could be a not only all SEC, maybe even an All-American safety. Like he's legit. So I say Auburn maybe gets two or three in the first team, and you got several sprinkled throughout there. I mean, who knows if Xavier Chaplin is the guy, you know, could he be a first team? But I say two or three, and then you got several other sprinkled throughout the second and third teams. But you got, man, the more you think about this roster, it's pretty deep. There's some good talent that could make some noise. So the talent seems to be there for sure. Let's go to Toxic Auburn. I like that name too. I'm assuming the plan is to redshirt Deuce, but do you think if the opportunity presents itself, smaller games with huge leads, that we would give him some game reps? Well, I think a lot of this depends on what happens with this redshirt rule. If they go to 5 years of eligibility and throw the redshirt away, that's on the table. Like that could be voted on in June, and then like you don't have redshirts, you just have 5 years of eligibility. If that's the case, I could see a number of opportunities to get Deuce playing time this year. You don't have to worry about just the four perfect games. You could have several things for him to do to get him up to speed and help with his development. So that's I think if it doesn't go through, definitely you want a red shirt, and which I think red shirts are silly now, because what are the odds Deuce is going to play college football for 5 years? Like you feel like he's going to be if he achieves what his traits, if he achieves the potential of his traits and his abilities, he's going to be a big time, you know, NFL prospect. The odds that he's going to be here 4 years is going to be silly. Like it's probably 5 years is probably not going to happen. So what does redshirting really get you? I don't really know what it gains you. He's either going to play in 2 years. He's either going to play year three as a junior or a redshirt sophomore. He's probably only going to play 2 years regardless. So I don't even know why we redshirt anymore, to be quite frank. Cause I mean, with the portal, there's just no chance dudes are going to be here around that long, but I'm curious to see what happens with this ruling. I think you better get him some playing time. You better figure out ways to play him so that you keep him. I mean, that's got to be on the back of your mind now when you're managing a roster, unfortunately. Overfront, I love the name. What do you think Auburn's best path to the playoffs is in 2025? How do they thread the needle to make it in? So we saw some teams, maybe one or two, get in at 9-3. So if you're looking at 9-3 minimum to get into the playoffs, if you break Auburn's season into like three seasons, if you look at it in like three season sections, okay, so like the first one is your opening three games. You got at Baylor, Ball State at home, South Alabama at home. You got to go 3-0 there. You got to start off 3-0, or there's just really almost no margin of error. So season one, your opening three games, you got to go 3-0. And then you have like this little weird stretch right before, not weird, you got this little stretch right before a bye week where you go at Oklahoma, at Texas A&M. And like both of those are, I know Oklahoma lost a ton. But they got some good stuff in the portal. They added John Mateer. They added a new offensive coordinator from Washington State who's really good. Their offense was a lot of fun. You got to go to Norman for the first time. So that's definitely going to be a tough one. And then you got to go to College Station, which oddly enough, we've had some success there. But I feel like you got to split those. You got to win one of those. So you got to go 3-0 to start. You got to go, you got to split one of those. Then you have a bye week. Then you have a five-game stretch. You got Georgia, Missouri, Arkansas, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt. Let's break it into four seasons, okay? So you got Missouri, Arkansas, Kentucky, Vanderbilt. You need to try to go at least 4-1. I'm 3-1 in that stretch at some point in time. So now you're at two losses. And then you got your two home games against Georgia and Alabama. If you split those, that's 9-3. And that gives you at least to be in the shot to win, to make the playoffs. I think that's probably the best route to make the playoffs. And if you win both of those, if you win at Oklahoma and at Texas A&M, I mean, you're 10-2. You win any one of those games, I say that you should, you know, if you go 4-1 or 2-1 or 1-1 in those scenarios, if you win both of those road games or you go 4-0 in that stretch instead of 3-0, you got a chance. But I say if you go, so just to recap, win your first three, that'll start you off 3-0. Split Oklahoma and Texas A&M, that gets you to 5-1. Win one of Georgia and Alabama, that gets you to 7-2. And then go 3-1 over that Missouri, Arkansas, Kentucky at Vanderbilt stretch. That'll get you to 9-3. And that'll give you at least in the playoff talk contention. So then obviously any extra wins pretty much locks you in. So That's the pathway. It's a manageable schedule, but it's still the SEC. It's still tough. So you got to win games you're not supposed to win, and you got to do it this year. You really got to prove it this year. Last one. It's a basketball question. I think it's a good one. Barner 3, what qualifies as a disappointing finish for AU Hoops given how good they've been this season? Sweet 16 or worse? Look, we're still – I know we've had a lot of success in basketball. We haven't had the success like at the top that we'd like to have. You know, you've had the one run to the Final Four, and then you've had a lot of, you know, second round and first round exits. I've always felt like if you can get to the point where you're making sweet 16s, it's really a crapshoot after that. So like it's kind of a crapshoot after the sweet 16 to decide how far you go. Like it could be a late shot here, a late turnover there. Like just the tournament's so crazy and crazy things happen. To me, anything, if you get to the Sweet 16, I'm happy with how the season goes. And then to me, it's just like bonus after that. And I think that's probably fair for most big basketball teams. Like get to the Sweet 16 and then, you know, whatever happens after that happens. Let's go try to win it all. But man, the Sweet 16 it's hard to get there. It's hard to get there. If Auburn's the number one overall seed, you would think you could get to the Sweet 16 fairly easy. You'd play a 16 and probably an 8 or a 9. And then you'd get a chance to, you know, you get a chance to advance. You can play another, you know, very beatable seed. So there's a decent pathway to the Elite 8. But man, I'll take Sweet 16 right now. I'll be disappointed if they get knocked out in the Sweet 16, but I'll be happy overall with the season. It's one of the it'd be one of the better seasons you've had. You don't make many Sweet 16s. Let's not pretend like Sweet 16 is. Let's turn our nose up at the Sweet 16. That's a pretty big achievement. So I'd like to get there, and then anything after that's gravy. So I would say not getting to the Sweet 16 will be a pretty big disappointment. for sure. Definitely with this team. I mean, I felt like last year's team should have easily gotten to the Sweet 16. You had the weird thing happen with Chad in the first game, and then everything seemed to go wrong. But that's how the tournament plays, man. That's how the tournament works. So got to get to the Sweet 16. I think that I would call that a successful season, and then anything after the Sweet 16 would be gravy. So I feel like that's if we're a Sweet 16 basketball team, like that's the greatest thing ever. If you're able to be a Sweet 16 caliber basketball team year in and year out, that's incredible. That's where you want to be. So that's what I'm pulling for this season. And then again, we're throwing a party. Anything after that? How about that? So. Guys, another great barn takeover. Great questions. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back again soon. We'll do it again next week, same time. So make sure you stay tuned for that. We'll be back again tomorrow. We got so much content dropping today. We got a basketball reaction coming up with me and Zep. You have a film breakdown, another barn film room on Omar Mabson, the new commit. And then tomorrow, obviously, you got the debut of a big Auburn baseball show that I think is going to absolutely blow your mind at the guest list and just the guys that are on it in general. So it's going to be a lot of fun. There's not going to be a baseball podcast out there better. So definitely stay tuned to that. A lot of stuff going on at the barn, and love that you guys are a part of it. So if you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe, hit that alert bell so you know when new content goes up. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. We'll be back every single day. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.